Well, good morning. Let me start by just thanking everyone that was bringing food for my family. We really appreciate that you served us. My wife is back now. So I can breathe easy and not wait for the knock. Who's bringing the next meal? Thank you very much. Just want to let all the family group leaders know that we have a meeting at 2. Please be there. We'll have a great time together. Amen. Run 2 to 3. We really hope that you can get there as many as you can as we start our training with our new transition. Amen. This morning, I'd like to talk about what kills our faith. I don't think as Christians we ever contemplate that we are losing faith. Romans 10, 17 says that you have to hear God's word to develop faith. And yet it is possible to come to church and hear it but not develop the faith. The question then becomes, how can that happen? The parable of the sower talks about the four soils. That the word would come out and one would fall on the road. And just there on the road, on the path. A path is a place that you've walked for a long time. Not the kind of pavements we have in America. A path where everyone has been walking through. It's hardened. So the seed will not be able to penetrate or develop a root there. And that creates the environment where the seed falls on the ground, but the buds come and take it. And as a people, yes, you can be a disciple, but you can get to a place of being a path. Where as much as the message comes out, it's not taking root. The devil comes and takes that away. Or you can fall on the rock. And then on this rock, it develops roots, but it cannot take hold in times of trouble. It holds, but when trouble comes, God is not the default switch you go to. And so that can happen to us as disciples as well. And that parable of the sower talks about the guy that is bearing fruit, but he's choked out with what's going on in life. And I think that is our biggest place where we are, as disciples, we're trying, we're growing, we're trying to do different things, but there's so much challenge coming at you. And if you're not careful, you get choked. And your faith diminishes. Not because you don't love God. That's not a question. You love God. You give your life to God. But the stuff around can begin to choke your faith away. And if you're in a good place, and some of us are in that good place, you're growing spiritually. You're touching people's lives. Your life is transforming. It's touching many people. And that's a good place to be. But the majority of us linger between being choked and sometimes the path and the rock. If we examine our hearts properly, then we'll realize that we have then to do a deliberate move to develop this faith. So that we don't just hear the word of God and never move or make the next step of spiritual growth. Does that make sense? So it's vital to understand that you can be in the body of Christ and yet not really be developing those spiritual strengths that you need to, and your faith can start dying. And you can be there, but you're not really developing. So let's talk about this for a moment. Familiarity kills faith. This is a common scripture that we all know. Mark 6, verse 1 to 3, the Bible says, Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. Where did this man get these things? They asked, what's this wisdom that has been given him, that he even does miracles? Isn't this the carpenter? So they were amazed. And with all this stuff. But now they go this other route. They say, isn't this the carpenter? Let me get that again. I think I'll take it from here. My eyes will do a better job here. Isn't this the carpenter? Is this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. Notice how it starts. It starts with being amazed and all that. Then eventually they switch backwards to, isn't he this? Isn't he that? So they switch from God to the person. They switch from what God was doing with the person to, isn't he? The mother is so-and-so. The father is so-and-so. We know this person. And with that, what that happens to them is gradually their focus is switching away from what God is doing with this person, with Jesus, to the history of this person. That's how it works with us. We can gradually move away from what God is doing into our lives to all the things that God has not done in our lives. That when we look around and say, what has God done? We don't see a lot of that. We go back to, what has God not done for me? And, you know, it's always a funny game I've played around many times. I say, can you tell me 10 things that are going wrong in your life? That's very easy. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10. Say, tell me 10 things that are going great. A lot of people go up to 3 and keep quiet. Then 4, 5, and then start really thinking hard. And it tells you that as a people, we tend to think from what don't I have. We don't think about what has God done for us already. So we think less of, we tend to focus on, I don't have this, I don't have that, as opposed to, what has God done for me? I mean, think about it this morning. Are you focused on what God has done for you or what you're lacking? What are your concerns? I may not have this by the end of the week. I may not have this by the end of the month. I may not do this. That seemed to be the concern. Not God is with me and he's done X, Y, Z. Because God has done that, surely he can take care of the week. So our reasoning gets off because we focus on the wrong stuff. And that's what happens. But there's another issue here. Sometimes when you've been with someone for so long, when you've been a Christian for so long, been with the scriptures for so long, you can lose the oneness of God. You can just become quite, you can complain and feel different things. I mean, I walk around in America and drive around and see different things. And I see what makes people upset. And I said, this is easy, man. What's the problem? I mean, this morning I was talking with John Claude. He was saying he's going to see his family and he's going to drive 8 hours. Now I said, so how many times will you stop? He says, well, I need to stop a few times. I told him, in some parts of Africa, if you're going north, prepare yourself, buddy. If it's at night, you can't just come out any time out of your car because you may run into a snake, a lion, or something. Be careful how you come out. He says, no, I'm driving during the day. I say, you need it like a Land Cruiser that has 2 tanks that can go 1,000 miles nonstop. And you're just going and bouncing around and that's okay. That's part of the fun. He says, no, I'll be going here and I'll stop maybe 5 minutes. I say, it's so easy to do this. But imagine being in this country and still finding it difficult. It's a question of perspective. Because this is all you grew up with. So you don't know any other difficulty. And that is the same with a Christian who's been in church for so long. You've forgotten the grace of salvation. You've forgotten what God took you from and how far he's brought you this far. And because you forget that, what happens is then you're familiar with scripture. You know the Bible inside out, but it doesn't transform you. Long term with that is you begin to struggle in your faith. Because God is not real. God is so familiar. You know, we are enamored with new stuff. If you buy a new shirt, new dress, you're happy with that thing. But how long do you stay happy with it? Maybe 3 weeks. Maybe a month. Then you walk by the shop and the new style has come out. Or the new season is coming out and all that stuff. And all of a sudden, you start feeling like, this is not what I want. You see, God is not like that. God is not a shirt or a dress or a shoe. God can connect with you in a way that is real. And when you understand that, you can never get familiar with God. It's a place you run for safety, for love, for compassion, for understanding. Does that make sense? So when you understand God like that, you don't get like they did, which was, we know them, they're from this, he's from there, we know the Father. What can he tell us? And that happens. And that happens sometimes with one another. We're trying to develop fellowship, and a strong fellowship, a strong family group. We're trying to develop, you know, a healthy ministry, a growth, a growing ministry spiritually, as people, and even numerically eventually that will happen. But do you value one another? Or are you going to start saying, I know him, how can he change? He'll never change. Sometimes we can be the worst of friends and put each other down so much that we don't believe God can transform each other. Instead of supporting one another to say, God can do something with you, we say, I know him, he's never going to change. She's never going to change. How then can that be healthy if we believe in God? If we don't say that God can transform him or her, even though I've known her for this long, and she's going to change. Some things change quickly. Some things take time. But we got to have that faith and tell the person that we know that God can transform you. There is a way as a church we can level, stop the growth because we think they can never change. They've been like that since they were baptized. But they can change. Because God is bigger than anything. Maybe you've been married for the last 30 years and you feel like your spouse cannot change. They can change. Because God is bigger than the issue. But when you're familiar with Scripture, you may not see that. Maybe it's your children, and you think your children can never change. God can change them. He may change them even when you're gone. Because Hebrews 11 says that they lived in faith, but they never received everything, right? But stuff happened after that. Abraham didn't see us, but we're here now. You understand that? So we all get discontent because you don't see what you're wanting right now. What about putting your faith in God to go through the life that you're going through right now in such a way that you're joyful and know that God will come through anyway? See, that's how faith works. If that faith is not with us, what happens in a long time is that we're Christians that are dull and feel empty and not filled with God. And that's where you have to watch. Am I getting familiar with Scripture to the point where I'm not allowing God to work in me? Are there people in my life I have written off? Are there people in your life you've written off and said, they will never change? That is a challenge to your faith. And I know that some people are tough to believe and to see, but you can say, I'll put them in the hands of God. Amen. Because that takes the desire to control, to hate, to be vindictive away. And you put them in the hands of God. And you begin to feel God lift your heart, and your heart becomes lighter. And you can move forward. But when you're familiar, you can't hear God. Because you explain everything away. You don't go to the supernatural power of God. You explain everything away. You don't say, but God, you say this in the Scriptures. You can tackle this. How about that? Are there things you've decided that this will never change? God can do that. He can change your life. But they were too familiar to listen to God. Jesus said to them, only in his hometown, among the relatives and his own house, is a prophet without honor. He could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their lack of faith. Then Jesus went around teaching from village to village. He was amazed for their lack of faith. It was there. God could do it. But they did not believe. Sometimes it's not the lack of God. It's the lack of you just believing that God can do it. Remember, you know the Scripture says, according to your faith, it will be done. Maybe that's what your faith is. You're afraid. You're afraid to believe the power of God. And so, it'll just be done as you believe. You may be the ceiling of what God could do. Not because he can do it, but because you choose to believe that we can go beyond this. Some things take long to come by. I've dreamed of many things, and I put them before God, and God will make it happen. And I look back and I say, oh my goodness, how did that happen? I prayed about it. I even forgot about it. And God just brings answers to you. Now, not everything I ask comes my way, but that does not change God. It doesn't change God. If I asked for 10 things and I only got 5, it didn't change God. God knows when I'm ready for certain things. You understand that? I mean, when I was 29, I wanted a GT Volkswagen Mach 4. And I said, if I had that car at 29, I'll be dead in a year. Because I didn't have the character to slow down. I had the energy to drive it at maximum and thought I was invincible. And I look back and said, thank God, the first car my God allowed me to have was 18 years old. And I said, yeah. And even then, brothers used to say, man, you're going way too fast. I had no speedometer on it. So I'd gauge you just how is it moving. Yeah, it was that rough. It didn't even have a gauge. I knew that, oh, when was the last time I put fuel? I think it's time to put some more fuel. But I learned a lot about maintaining cars from that. Because if you can keep an 18-year-old car moving, you can keep any other one moving. Now, the point I'm trying to say that God allowed that to happen because I wasn't ready for other things. I only know that in hindsight, not then. Not then. Then I didn't know. I thought, whoa, what a bomber. I wanted something else. In hindsight. And you have to understand, there's a lot that is coming your way that you will not see now. But in hindsight, you may say, thank God that happened. So then it takes humility and faith to stick with God right now. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about familiarity and how it works. Hatred is an affair of the heart. Hatred is an affair of the heart. Contempt, that of the head. How does it work? In your heart, when you hate somebody, you're very angry, resentful. When you're having familiarity, you can breed some contempt with that person, all the scriptures. And it works the same way. Hatred diminishes, is angry, is negative. Contempt does the same thing. Diminishes, tries to rationalize and minimize. The same thing. Why? Because you've seen it over and over and over. I mean, I'm catching myself now. The first few days I got here and I was driving, I was very cautious. Because I was new. I wanted to keep every rule. Now I'm catching myself as, oh, it's going a little bit higher than usual. And I'm saying, I don't want to be familiar with this. I want to stay with what the Lord does. Amen. You see, do you see how it works? You easily start letting go. You easily start letting go. Why? Because I'm familiar. I don't have to think through it. I can just turn around. I don't have to use the GPS all the time now. I can turn around and say, okay, where am I going? I'm going to Mike's. I'm going to Steve's. I'm going to Allen's. I can even get to many places. I can get to Grayson without a GPS now. And I'm thinking to myself, but be careful that you don't become familiar and start just relaxing and not allowing God to touch you with the laws of the day, with life. That is what happens when you stay in a place. You can become too familiar and not connect with God. So let me ask another question. Are you familiar with the Bible to the extent that doesn't touch you anymore? It happens the same way, just like hatred does. So he says your familiarity breeds contentment. I went there for a reason. You can be so familiar that you don't desire to grow anymore. You don't desire to push yourself anymore. What's the point? You don't do that anymore. You don't see the need of growth, whether it's as a person, in your parenting, in your marriage. You can be so together for such a long time that you don't desire to develop intimacy as a couple. You can be so much as a single person that you don't desire to grow spiritually. There is room to grow in everything we do, brothers and sisters. There's room to grow. Don't settle. Don't settle. Don't be content in this area. Try and grow your life. Think through your life and see, where can I grow? What can I do different? It's very important we understand that. Secondly, stubbornness and unbelief will kill your faith. And that is, some of us don't realize we are very stubborn. Yeah, that we have a stubbornness in us. And it's in the Bible for a reason. After what just appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking in the country. They had Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Judas, I think, had gone to check for Jesus in the tomb and didn't find him. So because he had said he'll be in 3 days he'll be awake and gone. And he's talking to them, and here's the story continuing. Says, walking in the country. This returned and reported in the rest, but they did not believe them either. 14. Later Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating. He rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. You know, he had told them many times, I'll rise after 3 days. He did so, they refused him. And he talks to them, and he comes and rebukes them that they were stubborn in their lack of unbelief. Why does that happen? Sometimes you can have such a good time in life, but it comes to an end, and you need to move on to the next level. But you don't want to. You just want to stay with a good time. Some of us, our good time is when we were 16. Some of us, our good time is when we were in our 20s. Some of us are good times in our 40s, but you got to move on as God takes you to the new season. Now, you have to remember that the disciples had a good time with Jesus. And miracles, going places, feeding people, 5,000, food. I mean, they were having a good time. Then the challenging time comes and he goes on the cross. And they're watching Jesus and they're wondering, okay, is he going to come back? And just before the cross, they run away. Remember when the soldiers came to arrest Jesus? They run away. So a lot of them are not feeling good about themselves at this point. And then 3 days later, he shows up. They tell, you know what? Jesus is alive. They don't believe that. Why? They don't believe it at all. Why? They're struggling with the fact that a friend died just 3 days ago. You're struggling with the fact that, you know what, I don't think it might happen, even though we believed him when he was here, but now that the real thing is happening, I don't think it'll happen. And Jesus has to come and rebuke them and says, you're stubborn. Oh, we're stubborn. We're stuck in a place. You don't get stubborn for just being stubborn. You're stuck in a place. Something holds you there in your faith. And if you see what happens is that he has to tell them, I'm real. I'm here. But they're just stuck in a place. Look at this. You can't start the next chapter of your life if you keep rereading the last one. You can't. They were stuck in that place. The last chapter with Jesus was what they were stuck with. They couldn't go to the next one. Now you take responsibility. Now have faith in this will happen. They didn't want to move that. So that is true in our lives as well. Are we stuck in a chapter and not wanting to move to the new chapter? Our story is, what if, is the story we tell a lot. You know, stuff will change. Life will change again and again. And God is always calling you to a higher level. Not always in a pleasant way for you, but trust God, he's working out something. Even in the most difficult places, God is working stuff for you. So what is it that you keep rereading and rereading and not moving on to the next chapter? Maybe that's what's just holding you back. Sometimes we're so stuck in, I want my life to be like it was in the 90s. It's not going to be, it's 2016. It's 2016, we got to move on. I want to go back to when my life, 2000. It's not 2000, we got to move on right now. Does that make sense? I wish there are things we cannot go back to. I cannot go back to the clothes I had when I was 18. I can't fit those clothes anymore. I must embrace my new station right now. I need to have fun with that. Amen? And I don't know what's holding you back, but that's the stubbornness that comes through. It's we try to reclaim yesterday, but God has given us a new day today. We keep going back to history, and you can learn from that, but what will you do today? You cannot drive your life always looking backwards. You got to learn from that, but get a future, a hope that God can do something new. Amen. And that's the question that you have to ask yourself. Are you seeing that? It may not come in the way you want it, but trust God. He's working out stuff. That's very important. If we don't do that, we end up like the disciples, just stubborn in the unbelief. Stubborn in the unbelief. Because you don't believe, you're not resenting, but you're simply hoping that it can come back to what it used to be. It can be. If you've been married for more than 5 years or 10 years, sometimes you're stuck in, I wish my marriage can be like the first 2 years. That is a stage of infatuation. Now you got to move on to a new stage. Infatuation will last 2 years. Beyond that, it was an automatic car between the 2 years. Now you're in a manual driven car. You got to think through things and see, how will this work? It's love. It's a verb now. It's not just a feeling. It's not about, I don't feel the same again. Will you love? You have to understand that. It's a new season that God has brought you to. It's a growth level. And if you don't embrace that, you're stuck in the last chapter. That's true with being a teenager. You'll never be a teenager forever. You'll come on to an adult, young adult. And that's true about being a young adult. You'll move on to middle age and to more mature age. So please be careful how you treat the more older people in the congregation, because that's where you're heading. Be nice. They might not be there for you, but someone else will be nice to you. Amen. Let's finish up with this. Legalism kills your faith. Romans chapter 3 is an interesting chapter because they're back and forth about, but who got the word first? And yeah, the Jews got the word first and they were given the responsibility. And so they're going back and forth with that. And eventually, as they go back and forth with that, they turn around and the Jews are very legalistic about circumcision and that kind of stuff. And that's not the issue. The issue is we got to find our faith in God. But we can be so legalistic about, I prayed. How long did I pray? I read my Bible. Don't get me wrong. You need to read your Bible. I think that if you have a good relationship with God, a healthy one, I don't want to create guilt on anyone, so be careful as I say these things, that you can pray anytime, any place. Now, we know in Mark chapter 135, very early in the morning, he woke up to a solitary place to pray. So you can do that, amen? But I hope that's not the end of that prayer. Because sometimes we pray in the morning, and that's it. And we don't pray until the next day morning. So between 6 o'clock when you prayed, you were feeling God to around about 10 o'clock. After 10 o'clock, you're running on your own blood and energy. You're not praying anymore. You're thinking just, I'm going to do this stuff the way I know how. What about prayer all the time? Pray continually. Legalism will take that away. So you wonder, how does the faith go down? Because legalism has just taken over in our lives. We pray in the morning, we read. I mean, hardly do we pray just for simple things. For what you're going to say to someone. Hardly do we say that. I'm going to have a fellowship or a date. What will I say there? How will that turn out? Do we pray about that? You're getting on the road. Do you pray for God to give you Johnny Masses? This is Atlanta. The driving is a bit scary. Yeah, a place of 65 people are going 80. Like, what happened? Where's the policeman? Yeah, whizzing right, left. I'm the slow guy. Like, what's going on here? You need to pray for life there. Do you think about such things? I mean, if you think about it and how we take life for granted. People leave their homes, never come back because somebody shot them, something happened. And well, we do that every day and come back and we take that for granted. It's by God's grace that we do that. Yeah, we may have difficult jobs, but God gave you that job. You better pray for that, then God will open the door for another one if you want to. So, Romans 3 verse 1 to 3, what advantage then is there in being a Jew? Or what value is there in circumcision? These are questions of discussion. Well, because, yeah, we're Jew, we must be first. There's no advantage in all this, he's trying to say. Much in every way, first of all, they have been entrusted with the very words of God. What if some did not have faith? Will their lack of faith nullify God's faithfulness? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Your lack of faith does not nullify God's faithfulness. In other words, we move away, God never moves. I've had people say, I don't feel God anymore. I say, you're the one that moved. God never moved. It does not feel like my first year as a Christian. I understand that, but the first year as a Christian is a breeze, but there's a deeper growth that God is bringing you into. And you have to make some growth in your faith. Does that make sense? Oh, I don't just feel the same way. I understand that, but there's a change that God will bring you to if you connect with Him. And so it doesn't change Him. And we can get so legalistic. So maybe what I need to increase is to pray for 2 hours. Well, you're doing something and forgetting God somewhere in the process. We are like people who commit sin and say, I confessed, and then fast for a few days and say, I've really changed. But then it comes back, right back in a month. That was penance. That wasn't change. We kind of punished ourselves. And that's legalism. You start trying to earn this thing by your own ways. You start trying to take charge instead of going back to God to help you. And after a while, you get tired and keep quiet. You don't want to talk about it because it's too hard, but I'm not going to leave God because it's just the way it is. What do I do? You start coming up, becoming very philosophical with your God. You bring all kind of philosophical language around it and not really being straight with God. And that's how you know our faith is going down. So this morning, as I talk about this issue of faith growth, it's not a question that you've left to God. It's rather a question of, are you growing in your faith? And not assuming that you're growing in your faith because you sit in church every morning, but rather ask that question whether you connect with God in your private life. Privately, every morning and every day as you walk around, the things that I will never know, but you know about it. Stuff that if only God can tell you. The things you worry about, the sins you go through, that stuff can only be changed by God. And that will not happen if you're legalistic. That will take a different walk with God. Let's go here. Okay, hold on. So how do you become legalistic? Let me hit this very quickly. We become legalistic when we make rules outside the Bible. We walk away from the Bible, but we think that this is a Bible thing, but we're really going away from the Bible. We got to come back to the Scriptures. Let the Bible lead us. Push yourself to try and keep your rules. Then we take these rules that we made and try to make that the standard of living. We push so hard those rules that I don't, you know the way you tell yourself, I don't do this, unless I do this, I'll not feel good. That is what they call conditioning in psychology. Wow. That you can condition yourself to think a certain way, not let the Bible speak to you. Don't condition yourself. Let the Bible speak to you. Amen. Castigate yourself when you don't keep your rules. I didn't pray for 2 hours today, so I feel like I'm not doing well spiritually. Really? How do you measure doing well spiritually? How do you measure that? Because you pray 2 hours? Hey, the Pharisees did that, you know.
That's true.
Now, I didn't call you a Pharisee, but I'm giving you a pointer. The point is, a growth in faith is not measured by activity. It's really a relationship with God that begins to transform that. When you understand that and begin to be freed of the load you're putting on yourself, it's amazing how you can connect with God. You find that my yoke is light. Come and learn from me. That scripture becomes real. My burden is light, rather. Come and learn from me. It's easy. That scripture becomes real. Become proud when you don't keep your rules. Become proud when you do keep your rules. And it can bring pride. Look down on people. How do you struggle with that kind of stuff? I remember in one meeting, a brother was struggling with something, and I can't go get into the details of it, and not here, my days back. And one brother says, I have never struggled with that. In the process of that person confessing. Well, we didn't know what to say, but we kept quiet. Bite our tongue when you don't know what to say. Lo and behold, maybe a year later, he was stuck in the same sin, unable to overcome. And I said, this is what happens when it's all about my rules. See, pride comes before God will then deal with it. So my point here is just, let's get out of legalism and really connect with God in the real sense of it. Appoint yourself as judge over other people. And then when we are like that, we walk around and judge the world instead of reaching out to the world. We talk them down instead of lifting them to Christ. So here's what God can do for you. We talk down to each other, and so people don't feel safe to talk about their issues. So everybody's afraid. They can't talk to anyone, yet we're in church together. And yet we're trying to build family groups that can allow that to happen in a safe place. You follow that? So we just talk down, and nobody's willing to talk, and we die spiritually. Our faith dies. Get angry with people who break your rules or have different rules. So God is, Jesus is Lord, not me, not you. Jesus is Lord, amen? So we submit ourselves to Christ, and then legalism goes away quickly. Submit yourself to Christ and legalism goes away quickly. Beat the losers. Then we start keeping records. I'm winning, you're losing, I'm winning, you're losing. The Bible says don't compare yourself with one another. It's the same body. You cannot compare yourself with one another. That's how it becomes. And here, there have been some who were so occupied in spreading the Christianity, they never gave a thought to Christ. Here's where I want to end. Sometimes we get caught up in spreading the gospel, but we forget Jesus Christ. This, the beginning, the source, the motivation, the motive is totally taken out. I pray that this morning that I got you to think about your faith and how you can get on the journey of growth. It's personal. You're not competing with anyone. Start where you are. Start where you are. You may be farther down, Interstate 85, that's fine. Others may be farther ahead, that's fine. What's the most important is you must keep making the journey. And God will bring you to a place of growth. Amen? God bless you.
And Mr. McKenna, a few announcements real quick. Youth and Family Ministries, for all middle school and teen parents, there will be a meeting, a very important meeting, this coming Thursday night from 7:30 to 8:30 in the Meadow Creek High School band room right over here. So please plan to come to make this a very important meeting. And let's go to God in prayer as we close. Father, thank you so much for this day that we can come together and just dive into the Word, Father. Allow us to focus on what you've done for us, Father, not that what you haven't done today, Father. And just allow us to remember just the grace of your salvation, Father. It's so imperative that we just focus on that, Father, that it's not us that can change any circumstances or any people, Father, that it's only you, God, that you're in total control. And that we are not stubborn too stubborn to see what Jesus is doing, Father. That we can observe it to see what you are doing, what your Spirit's doing in us, Father. Just let your Spirit just fill in us and just burst the seams and overwhelm us, Father. That we do not become stuck in our faith, Father. That we seek you for the sake of seeking you, Father, not for the legalism of what we've done, what we do on a daily basis, so that we can count our time that we spend in prayer, our time that we spend with you, Father, but just that we spend time with you, Father, that we seek you, that we seek Christ, Father, that we seek to grow spiritually, Father, that a life without you is a life not lived, Father. It's just a worthless life. And Father, I just pray that you can just change us in this room, that you can transform us mentally, spiritually, Father, and that we continue to seek you, and that everybody gets home as safely as they arrived here, Father, And I just continue to bless this congregation, Father. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.